girlfriend, Miss Fonda, when her last baby was born, she had to go to bed. She was so large. And the doctor told her, and she couldn't afford to, she was still getting her degree, and she couldn't go, she just could not, she said, lose. So I went up there, Mr. Cox called me up there, and he said, I want you to think about it tonight, and about Miss Ponder. I said, well, Mr. Cox, I can tell you now. He said, no, don't make up your mind now. I would work in the morning one day and the evening the next day. And that gave her a chance. She could come stay an hour or two by sitting down. And he said, that gave her a chance to plan her work. I never graded a paper. Her husband, Fonda, he's down at
the Board of Education?
Yeah. No, he was down. He was a principal at they got a new school there now, Alan. He was principal there, and he would come by and pick up her work and take it home. She would grade it, and he would record. She would record her own grades. And he said, now, he said, well, Mr. Cox, I can tell you now that I would do that, because I said, it's not anybody up here that I love anymore, than Bonnie Fonda. He said, but now that's, you think about it, that's going to make you miss a half a day each day till she can come back, till after that baby is born. And he says, that's going to make you miss a lot of days. I said, Mr. Cox, I've got something to eat at home, and I've got something to wear. And I said, Bonnie is in a tight. I said, she can't, she's still going to school. And if she loses so much time, you know, she could do her schoolwork and he would take it in, and they were going to Chicago somewhere. She was doing her, finishing her degree. And I said, no, sir, I want to do that. So the next morning, I went back for somebody, and I told him, I says, I'm going to work. I'll work for her that way. And I always felt like a good friend is worth more than money sometimes. That friend can fix you something to eat, but that money can't. I'm not smart, but I do know that if you got good friends, they can come in and do something for you that you can't do for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I always valued my friends. And I could have made more money by just working, but that Lonnie, she appreciated that. And I loved all her children, especially the little boy, the youngest one, before the baby came. And he'd always come in over at the high school, and he'd get his lunch money, and somebody walked him across the street. And he said, Miss Misha, when you coming back and fix me some more spaghetti? He asked me that several times. But I love her, and I love her family. And I thought a lot of Dr.
What's his name? Cox.
Yeah, no, the vice principal.
Nash.
Nash. I thought a lot of him. I liked him. A lot of people didn't. But you know why? He was smart, Alan, and that some people here can't stand smart folks. And he didn't bother nobody. He didn't bother a soul. I liked him very much. And he quieted things. He fixed that walk over that road. And for that, I am glad, because it would invariably, a kid would get behind and run across that road after they all got across. I've seen it happen hundreds of times. And I feel like that was, he was smart. He was smart as a whip. And I never had, each Halloween, he had a little girl, she was crippled a little bit in one of her feet, just a little bit. And I think she had been married, I don't know, one of them. She, anyhow, she was a sweet girl, and they had a baby after they come to Lincoln. And so every Halloween, I always parched him a little bag of peanuts. And what's that? They live up yonder. Dwight McKay's brother, the one that passed away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they had a little boy. And of course, Brooks is little boy, his son. I would parch them three a few peanuts. And Dr. Nash, he just thought he had to have. I'd fix him a little bag, and I'd fix something for the children because they were. But he always came to sit down and stay a few minutes. And I liked Dr. Nash. And anybody that didn't like him just didn't want to do. He wanted to bring the quality of education. He wanted young people to wake up. Because y'all could have done a lot better. All of them could have done a lot better than they's doing that. And you know that. And he was a smart little fat man. I liked him very much. I never walked around his wife much. I didn't know her. But I enjoyed. I used to go out in the ag building. I reckon that's why they got me. A lot of them wouldn't go out there. And we had some substitutes that wouldn't go in a special class. One of them told me she was afraid of them. I said, oh, you are so wrong. I said, they are the most humble children in this school. I said, now some of the other classes, you might say you were scared of them. But I said, you just have to bristle up and let them know you're not scared of them. But I could go in that special class, and somebody had put them a rug on the floor. And in the morning, they would just work their little fingers off. They would do anything I asked them to do. They tried, and that's all anybody can do. And they were so limited to what they could do. And after lunch, that you might well not try to get them to do anything much except color. They could color real good. But I had, lots of them had one little girl, she kind of had nervous jerks. And I would let them roll up the sweater or coat and lay down on that rug. And some of them would take a little nap, some of them didn't. They had already done their work. And then a lot of days I'd pop a big grocery bag full of popcorn. I would let them, I took something up there where he could go down there and get them a pitcher of water. And I enjoyed them. And one little girl, actually she took home ec, and that was a mistake. But I guess they wanted her to feel like she could do what the others could do, whether she could or not. And Ms. Ponder should have let her make a pair of color cases. But she had that little thing trying to make a pair of slacks. And I don't think I could have made slacks with no pocket in them. So she come down the hall one day, and I said, she's crying. And I didn't go to lunch that day. I said, what's the matter? She told me. She said, if I don't make C or C minus on my slacks, I'm going to have to take this and do this over. And she wasn't going to get a break before. And I said, are you going to lunch? She said, yes, but I'm not hungry. She had done the pie till she was missing. And I said, go back and get those slacks and a spoon and a thimble and a pair of scissors and bring them down here. She said, what you gonna do? I said, you just go get them. You just do what I ask you to do. She went back and she had the slacks. And she had put the back to the front and the front to the back. And I couldn't, it was about that much longer than the other side. And this one was about that much longer than that. Where she sewed them together. And I thought, well, now, if I had been in that room, I'd have let her make a pair of pillowcases. I think she could have done that. But she couldn't make no pair of slacks. So I don't know whether I could or not. Not now. So she went and got them, and she stood there. I said, go on to lunch, Nadine. I said, y'all going to be late. She said, I'm not hungry. She had cried, so she... I said, go on outside and sit down somewhere if you're not going to lunch. I said, now, Mr. Cox may not like it. She's sitting. I said, you go on in the lunchroom and sit down. So while she was gone, I knew I didn't have time to rip them up. She had the back and the front. That's what she had, and I knew I didn't have time to do all that. So I just got me a pair of scissors. I cut them off even at the bottom. And I hemmed them up far, and I hemmed the band around the waist. And so when she come back, she said, Miss Mitchell, how could you do that for me? I said, well, you needed somebody to help you, didn't you? Yes, ma'am. But she said, I didn't think anybody would do that for me. I said, well, I hadn't done anything but just kind of helped you get straighten them up. You had put them together. But, Alan, the front was in the back was in the front. But she couldn't wear them, I guess she wore them. And so I hemmed them and tacked the band on. And I just trimmed them off and made them right. So when she come back, she said, but I never forget. She said, how could you do that for me? But she went on and she took them. I said, if she asked you, don't you tell her no story. You tell her I am the bottom. You didn't know how. But she didn't ask, because she figured that some of the other girls, you know, she could turn him up pretty good. She might do a little of that a little bit, but she couldn't do some of the other girls sewed him up for her, no. So that evening, she come back by then. She said, Miss Mitchell, she said, I got C minus on them. And I said, thank you, Lord, because I didn't. I was so scared Bonnie was going to turn her down, I didn't know what to do. But she was a good little girl, black girl, but she just could not learn, and she never has. But that didn't keep her from being a good person. And she's always, every time, once in a while, I see her in the store up here, and she'll come up to me and she said, Miss Mitchell, she said, I shall do love you. And I said, Nadine, I just always want you to be kind to anybody. I don't care if it's a little puppy dog. If he's hungry, feed him. But I always did like him. And I haven't seen her in a long time. I don't know where she is.
Right.
The football boys, I always got along. That Lemon was a Lemon boy from Easter Boulder. Lord, he could play football. One or two of them.
I think
it was two of them. And their sister, Ellen, she flat just could make all A's and not study much. She was smart. And one day, it was Halloween, Friday, Halloween. I was working for Rutledge. And I didn't like to work out there because he did his assignments a week at a time. Well, I didn't know what they were supposed to do. And I went in there, and of course they thought they was going to have it on Friday, you know, and they had done wound up. You know how you all acted every Friday. Mm-hmm. You laugh and talk. And so I went in there, and I said, okay, I give them about 2 or 3 minutes. And I had a rule or something. I tapped on the table. I said, okay. I said, fun time's over. I said, this is Friday, and why don't you all, they all had notebooks and some kind of book, why don't you prepare and use this period for half of them didn't have the book they're supposed to have. They knew he wasn't there. And so you couldn't do much. So I was to let them read the next chapter and answer the questions. And it was two or three back there kept cutting up and laughing and cutting up and laughing.